back. We already in the ruckus here. Welcome to I Only Listen to 90s Music. This is a special episode. We talked about this song actually on the last episode, The Secret Garden. This brother reached out to us. His people, Omar Wilson, is with us. He's not Charlie Wilson's family that we joked about.
Hey, yo. So, I mean, at the end of the day, y'all, I'm from the hood. You know what I mean? So, I'm listening, right? I'm like, what? That's what we talking about. Yo, and yo, I called my manager. I was like, yo, y'all got to fix my Wikipedia right now. I said, I need every bullet point about me on the blast off the rip. I said, son, I'm getting ostracized right now, son.
Omar, I got a question though, man. Was you wearing Tims when you did that?
Always, son. We Tims, brother.
Dead ass, he has some Tims, though.
Hey, yo, check this out. Omar Wilson, since we gonna ask about who I am and all that. First of all, who I am is Omar Wilson is here to bring the alpha male-ism back to R&B. Omar Wilson is here to be that lion on the Serengeti. You know what I mean? Stalking his prey. Okay. Omar Wilson is here to do what everybody from Teddy Pendergrass to Otis Redding did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay. Real men sing to a woman's gut and watch them fall to the ground. Pick them back up, put them over your shoulder, and go handle business. That's where I'm at.
You sing them into that wop.
You gotta do it. Who's doing it right now? And from the research that I've done for the individuals, the legends that, you know, I was blessed to have a voice that's reminiscent of, that's what they were. There were so many different things, but they were like the mouthpiece for a man that maybe didn't have the speak game to tell his lady how he really felt, but wanted to give her everything, but didn't know how to bring it across. So that's what I do, man. You know, I'm like the translator.
The voice of the people, Young Vito.
The voice of the alpha male.
You know, all right. So let's start from the beginning. From your Wikipedia, Stacy said, you're from Connecticut originally,
correct.
Right?
Correct. From Connecticut. I was born and raised there. You know, I left Connecticut when I was like 17, 17, 18, started my musical career. Shout out to, you know, my state. But I've lived a little bit everywhere. North Carolina, South Carolina, Atlanta, Cali, just moving around, really doing music and going where, you know, the gift and my path led me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I started out singing like you heard in church, you know, at 6 years old, because at in the beginning, they wanted to give me like Ritalin and all that. I had the ADHD thing. So my mom put me in church, and in the first like 6 months, they saw I had a voice. I sung my first solo at, like, I was turning 7. It was a song called Running Back to You by Commission. And, you know, the response from the church was overwhelming, and I never looked back ever since. You know what I mean? So then, like we all talk about the Apollo. That's crazy. We all just talk about the Apollo. Like, I mean, I know that people might say whatever they want to say about Apollo, but if it wasn't for that venue, we wouldn't have American Idol. We wouldn't have The Voice. We wouldn't have anything.
Yeah.
And you got to remember, everybody from James Brown to Michael Jackson touched that stage. You know, Lauryn Hill was booed off that stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my homeboys that just came home, you know what I mean, been home about 3-4 years, Guy Fisher was his celly, you know what I mean? You know, this is the cat that bought the Apollo, you know, back so he could bring it back to the people. So, and they're actually doing some historic things with it this year, you know what I mean? Because it's a lot of anniversary stuff going on. So if it wasn't for that environment, like, I made my way in New York City. That's how, when I started really singing, it was New York, you know what I mean? So whether it was the Apollo or Maria Davis's showcase at that time, back in the day, that was a Soul Cafe. But I had ran through from the Bronx to New Jersey every showcase there was. And I started out singing at rap venues. So I would go in.
That's hard. And singing at rap venues is hard.
I mean, hey.
But it would be the most thuggish dude that would come up to me. Because at that time, I wasn't really singing love songs. You know what I mean? I had seen so many things in my own personal life, and I seen so many people go through stuff. I was like, yo, I could, no disrespect, but I could always get ladies. I could do that. I don't got to sing to get no women.
Right.
There's so many different issues that I know needed to be addressed. And like I said, the only person at that time in rap that I saw doing it was like Tupac. because he would cover everything from a Dear Mama to a Hit 'Em Up.
Right.
So, so it was, if it wasn't for the Apollo, which I had the first opportunity, and the only song that they had for me to choose was A Song for You, Donnie Hathaway.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay.
So I never forget it. Rachel and the crew and all them, shout out to them because they showed me a lot of love. But even in the beginning of that, I got the opportunity and I really didn't take it fully serious because I was still learning how to be a singer. So I remember I had made the audition, but getting to the first rehearsal and you were supposed to have your song already done and I didn't even have half of it finished. I came up on stage with a paper and I'll never forget Miss Hurley was the lady that was running the Apollo at that time, God rest her soul. She pulled me off stage, pulled me down into the bowels of the Apollo and was like, yo, this is Donny Hathaway's A Song for You. This brother is one of the staples of this house, this venue. And you are not going to disrespect this song. And made me sing it to her until I had it in my spirit. I ended up going back up there, and I won that night. But it also gave me another understanding of how important that space is. You know what I mean? Like, it's hollow ground.
And you got to treat it like it's something.
I had to. So I did start doing more research on Donny Hathaway and realized he was the dude that did a little Ghetto Boy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because at that time, rap was my thing. So I'm like, yeah, Little Ghetto Boy, that's on the project album.
Yeah,
he said it's Dr. Dre.
And then the more he did love songs, but it was still on some real man, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. way of moving. Mm-hmm. So that's what kind of evolved me into, you know, with a quick synopsis of who I am today. So I definitely got to pay homage always to the Apollo, because if it wasn't for that venue, that was the building blocks of who Omar Wilson is in New York City. Just being in all those venues, being around spots where no matter how good you sung, someone ain't gonna give you no love.
Right.
And I would go back every week until I started gaining the name and, you know, I became what I am in the city.
So you made them love you. That's what's up. That's what's up.
Oh. Stacey, you want to jump in here?
The Black Frank Sinatra.
The Black Sinatra.
The Black Sinatra.
No, just the Black Sinatra.
That's a strong claim, right? So you're the voice of the alpha male, you're the Black Sinatra. Like, how do you... As far as the comparison is concerned, like, how did that come about? Like, how did you realize that I am the Black Sinatra, or were people calling you that? Like, how did we get to that point?
Well, first of all, it's like reaching for anything. First of all, Sinatra did it his way. I'm doing it my way. You know what I'm saying? Number one. Second of all, initially, the Black Sinatra was Sam Cooke's name. They called Sam Cooke the Black Sinatra. Because at that time, he had the same power and the same love musically as Frank. But of course, Frank was a white Italian man. So they deemed him the Black Sinatra. The name kind of just came about. I think me and my homies one time was at the studio and we were just talking about Sammy the Bull and Frank Sinatra and how to move through the music industry. So he's like, yo, oh, you can't move like Sammy the Bull. You got to move like Frank Sinatra. So all came around, I started coining that. It's been about a year and a half, 2 years since I've been calling myself that. It was reaching for the ultimate greatness because of what you just said. When people hear it, they're like, Frank Sinatra, Black Frank Sinatra. Like, who do you think you are to even
that
believe
was
this? Well, before Muhammad Ali knocked anybody out, he called himself the greatest. Correct. And then after he knocked everybody out, he still called himself the greatest. So if you don't set a staple for yourself, nobody else will. You know what I mean? And I've been fighting my whole life, physically, mentally, spiritually, whatever. So the challenge is I welcome the challenge. I welcome somebody to ask me why I say who I am and prove it. And proving it is all I wanted to do in this music industry. Like, when people ask who is Omar Wilson, Omar Wilson is like the Tarzan of the music industry when it comes to R&B. Because I've been around, I've been here, people know who I am at the highest levels of the music industry, but it took a special person to take me on and get to the plateau that we are at right now where we're going. But I've always had the blue blood. I've always moved and shaked around the top level, the upper crust, the A-list. It's just that I needed the right machine and the right people to show that I'm worthy of an A-list shot. And with this record, The Secret Garden, it's going to prove not only my A-list ability, but my staying power, because it's seamless. There is no, you don't think it's the walk-on or the brand new guy. You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't, if you didn't know who any of us were, you wouldn't be able to pick the star route out the group, because we all sound equal. So that's what it is for me right now. It's like the final redemption to prove in this world of R&B music. And you got what, John Legend on one end, you got Anthony Hamilton over here. Omar Wilson deserves his own continent. Always had my continent. It's just that it's just now being discovered. Welcome.
Sir, yes, sir.
All right. Let's talk about this Secret Garden though, bro. Let's jump into
this. Let's do it.
So how did this come together? Because this really all started. How did we end up finding out about this? Was it me and you that's randomly?
No. So you brought it up, but yeah. Well, me and Scott said that we had seen the graphic of the flyer for it in our group, and right. we didn't know it was real, and that's
yeah, when I didn't know
you
what
said
it
no, oh, okay. It's a real thing.
Well, we thought it was a fan made thing. You know, how people just make
fans made. So we were like, okay. Oh. This like, is this real? And you said no. Like you said no, Stace, it's real. And we started looking like, okay, we got Cisco, we got Sean Stockton, we got Raheem Devon. We're like, we got Omar Wilson. And that's when the question came, who's Omar Wilson?
Right.
Like, who's Omar Wilson? Like, what group is he in?
And it wasn't necessarily shade per se, but it was just like, okay, I know these three people, but who is this guy? Like, who is this? So,
that's what led us.
Google, okay. Just because we don't know who he is, you may not know their name, but you may have heard something that they did, or there's somebody who may have sang something on a song. Like example, like on Alicia Keys' Diary. I don't know who the guy is that's singing with her, but if they said, oh, that's him that was singing with Alicia Keys on Diary. Oh, is it? So
yeah.
That was kind of like what it was trying to figure
that's
out.
Her back, that's her backup
singer. Something basically to tie you to so that she
That was the backup singer that was singing on that.
That's
so, you know.
That's how it all kind of came to be.
Yeah, it's like in life, you know, it's not what you know, who you know, it's who will vouch for you type thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when it comes to this song, like, Omar Wilson is the architect of this record. This is actually the first single off my new album that I'm putting out called Omar Wilson Sings the Classics. So how it came about is, initially, to keep it 100, another R&B cat that rocks with named Zaheem the Dream. He's one of the cats from the Force MDs.
Okay,
he reached out to me.
And the love.
That's homie. So, you know what I mean? That's fam. So he reached out to me and was like, yo, man, I got this idea for the record. So boom, you know, we molded over whatever, talked to my people, and about a day and a half, they had the track done. So my production team, they was like, yo, man, we got the track done. We think it's dope. This that, the third. So it ended up, you know, scheduling and situations, the politics or whatever, we didn't get a chance to work it out. And then the record was sitting there for a minute, and the owner of my label, Lou Humphreys, came to me and was like, yo, y'all still, what's up with the Secret Garden thing? I was like, well, you know, I'm still trying to work it out with the homie. And he was like, well, I really am interested in doing this record right now. Who do you think else would be dope on the record? And it came out the blue. Like I was already putting out an album called Omar Wilson Sings the Classics, where I'm doing, you know, some of the most talented soul voices on the planet. You know what I mean? That's another phenomenal situation, a groundbreaking situation for me that I'm doing as well. So this is kind of like an anomaly that just came out the blue because of what's going on and everybody just home. So when he said it, you know, I was out. I was nominated for an NAACP Image Award last year for most outstanding R&B, and I ended up chopping it up with Raheem Devon out there. And real brother, you know what I mean? The down to earth cat, and you know what I mean? Just a great talent as well. So that's the first person I thought of. I was like, what about Raheem on the record? So they Lou reached out to Rob. They worked out the politics. Rock came back with his verse. It was crazy. So then we just kind of went down the line trying to figure out what would be the right dynamic for the record. And you know, God know what he's doing. And he deemed Sean Stockman and Cisco as the other two parts. And I'm telling you right now, the song is not just because I'm on it. I think it's gonna be the biggest record that we have this year. I really, it's know that it's going to reestablish what R&B, what real R&B is again. And it's a groundbreaking achievement, especially for Omar Wilson, because like you said, this is like they didn't know Jill Scott either. Mm-hmm. It was, who was Jill Scott? That was her tag. That's what allowed people, it's the same thing. That's what allowed people to want to come into it because, you know, curiosity. People like, man, like, why does this dude deserve to be with these people? And like you said, no shade or nothing, but I get it. But that was the plot plan and understanding of it. Like, how can I get people to fully pay attention to me where they have no choice but to give me their honest opinion? It's just like, I've been playing street ball forever. Now I finally get a chance to play with some NBA players and to show everybody I've been deserving to play in the NBA. I just never had the right agent.
Are y'all going to shoot a video for this?
I'm going to do my skip to my Lou thing right now. I'm going to skip to my Lou right now.
Ray for Austin.
MVP. Straight up. Most valuable player of the year.
Y'all going to shoot a video for this, man? Y'all got to shoot a video for this.
Man, do you know I want to shoot the video like yesterday, but it's just this
with the COVID,
this situation, man. You know what I mean? I mean, these brothers, these brothers are some heavy brothers as well. So, you know what I mean? We talked about it 2 days ago. Nobody want to travel yet, man. So
is the single already dropped or is it dropping soon?
No, it's coming soon.
The single's done. I heard the master like 2 days ago. When I mean, once people listen to it once, twice, three times, they debate back and forth about it, whatever, hate it, love it, talk shit, whatever you going to do, and then really sit back and listen, you're going to say, damn, not only did they do a stellar job, but we're going to make Quincy Jones proud, man. I know we are.
Like, goddamn, man, they did it, man.
That Omar.
And like you said, nothing. And right now, there really, there really is no real R&B right now. There really is nobody singing to your gut and your soul. There ain't nobody making tear bubbles dropping in the throat. There's nobody doing that.
I say the same exact thing that like this generation of music is the most emotional with the least amount of emotion.
This is my interpretation because it's the most easy.
Yeah.
It's the most easy. You don't got people calling you out your name. Racism always going to be there, but it wasn't like when everybody from Curtis Mayfield to Otis Redding was doing it. So it's a different level of intensity. Right now, people don't want to be legends. Like my album, Living Legend, you know what I mean? People don't want to be legends. They want to get them a nice little mansion, get them a Lambo truck, a couple bands, and I think
the rappers are in the scene.
My objective always has been, one, to do things that stand the test of time and live forever. That's number one. Two, when I got into this, it wasn't to be no star. You know, I had my first child when I was turning 17.
Oh, wow.
The reason why I left Connecticut and started
babies raising babies.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and everybody that I was around, running the streets, guns, drugs, this one getting killed, that one. So it really was God that, okay, well, my three cousins had a rap group called the Lost Souls, and they were living in North Carolina with a producer that ended up being the producer that broke Carl Thomas' first record. You know what I mean? I ain't mention his name because whatever. But it is what it is, you know what I'm saying? But so that's why, so I had the opportunity to move with the rap group to rap, and it was so much going on back home. I was like, yo, man, I got it. This is the only way I'll probably be able to give my daughter the unfair financial advantage in this world without hurting a whole bunch of people.
Right.
So I started on the path. So it never was about trying to be no star or making people love me and all. It was about survival and doing my best to give her the best. And that's why any stage I got on, anywhere I go, I sing like it's the last day on the planet. Because I come from a different place and it still is like that to this day. You know, of course, being a star is a prerequisite of getting this money, being a brand and having people buy into it. But I've always felt like a star with $2 in my pocket and no whip. So this is now just, once again, proven that I've always deserved to be here. I just needed the right platform and the right people in my corner.
Yeah. That's exactly what it takes. It's all about the timing and the timing and when you can get those right people in your corner.
That's right. And then be able to capitalize on an opportunity. You know what I mean? Yeah. You can have all the great opportunities on the planet, but if you're not ready to, if you're not ready to take, not only take them on, but exceed expectation, you still ain't gonna get there.
Yeah.
Question about Secret Garden. Who is Barry White? Who's bringing the bass and the baritone? I need to know this.
I was told to keep that confidential till the record come out.
Okay, you know we've been debating that for like 3 weeks.
That's the most important. I feel like that should have been the first question we asked because the only thing I care about. I came here to find out the answer to that question.
Stacey, that's the only reason you came to this interview is to do.
The only reason I came to find out who was gonna bring the wood. Who is gonna?
Who's gonna bring that bass?
Who's gonna bring the bass?
That's a whole different perception of the question, but I get you. I mean, we, at the end of the day, in our own ways, we all bringing the fire is crazy. What I mean, it's epic, man. It should actually be a movie, this song, because it's all you're gonna be able to do is sit there and absorb it, and at the end say, damn, these brothers actually.
Omar, either look, if somebody better bring a deep voice, okay? You don't want this.
What's that? Angry
face. You don't want me to listen. You want me to give the love. You don't want.
You don't want the anger.
Hey, my brothers is my brothers, but this song is about you and all of the beautiful women, other beautiful women on this planet. If you think that I'm making my debut when talking all this shit, for this record to not make you want to play it for the rest of your life and have some babies going into the fall, I didn't come this far to not slam dunk. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I know what you're saying. I'm just saying. I need to ensure that that's going to happen.
Well, I guarantee satisfaction, pretty lady. Always have, always will. You know what I mean? And I know seeing and hearing is believing. But trust and believe, I'll be seeing a whole bunch of them happy faces in a couple more days.
Thanks.
So,
do you have a date for the track to drop that we can help promote it and put it out there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It'll be released on the 21st. I think that's next Friday.
Yeah, next Friday.
21st, man. 21st. We were going to drop it on the 14th, but they had a couple of things going on with, I guess, Sony or whatever. Because they're, shout out to Sony and them, because they're doing.
So your parent label is through Sony? Or?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yep. I mean, we're independent though.
But you guys got distribution through Sony.
Yes, sir.
Got it.
So how is it? My next question is, how is it being independent R&B artist at this time of the game?
Right now, I think it's a great thing because it allows me my own credit, my own creativity. I think also being an independent and then being able to, if you want to deal with major situations, is a plus too, because you're not just coming groveling asking, you're coming offering. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we don't have to take a situation if we don't want to. It'll be phenomenal to, you know, really combine with a label, whether it be Sony or whoever, that really wants to take on and put the financial stability even more in our favor. But right now we good. You know what I'm saying? We've been doing phenomenal with even putting this record together in a pandemic. It's almost unheard of to even be able to move the way we've been moving, but hard work, you know what I'm saying? A lot of prayer and God giving favor. And now the opportunity is right here.
Before you said that a lot of R&B isn't like the manly, is there any R&B artists that are current that you like, man, now rocking with what they doing? I really like what they kind of vibing with.
I mean, I've been so just internalizing who I am as an artist and figuring out what I'm doing. So into my music, like, no disrespect, I fuck, you know, man, everybody from a Chris Brown on down, Usher, you know, all those cats is phenomenal. So, you know, there is some dope ass cats out there. It's room for Omar Wilson. You know what I mean? There's no Teddy Pendergrass right now. There's, you know what I mean? He ain't dance. He barely even moved on stage.
So,
women passed out.
Hey, so basically you saying the game need a grown man.
The game need a grown man. Yeah. But a grown man that's not a grown man that's boring and and dated.
Right.
You know what I mean? They need it's like a daddy. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
okay. You know what I mean? On that Teddy Pendergrass.
Close
the door.
Now that you mentioned that on my upcoming album, on my Wilson Sings the Classics, I covered Close the Door.
Oh,
you
know snap. What I mean?
Well, so on the album, what was the album that we listened to? Because we listened to your album last
All Right, Living Legend.
Yeah, Living
Legend. Living Legend.
Yeah, and on there, there were a lot of covers of some classic songs. So there was the James Brown's Man's World.
Oh, I love that one. I was getting ready to
get So there, so it seems like there's a lot of inspiration, I guess, that you draw from that specific time period. So after that, like, for us, you know, like, our group is only listening to 90s R&B because that's what we grew up on, and that's what sticks out to us. So is the 60s, 70s, or just that time frame, is that just what is just in your heart?
I think it's covering
anything more recent aside from Secret Garden.
Right. It was just what spoke to me. Like, initially when I did the James Brown's Man's World, I was in Memphis and I was blessed to record that with Al Green's original band at Royal Studios, which is Al Green's original studio. And I recorded it on Al Green's Mic No. 9. You know what I mean? So to record that record with the cast that did Love and Happiness, Let's Stay Together, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know, was for me one just another historic understanding of what my voice entail. Now, over the course of my career, I've always just, because I write all my music, you know what I mean? So I've always worked on this type of stuff, some contemporary stuff. But with the new label that I had, and I have a lot of other different aspects of Omar Wilson musically that's going to come out. But they were like, there's no one, doing the research, there's no one doing this style of music. There's no one that really has the voice and can do it. So it's almost, it almost became my obligation. I fought it for a long time. Like, man, I'm not singing, I'm not doing this, bro. I got to make my own thing. It's all about my original. And for about a year, it was like, yo, man, but you have a voice. No one can sing Teddy Pendergrass. No one sings Otis Redding. Not because they don't want to, because they can't. They can't sing David Ruffin. Or they would. Why not?
Yeah. It's proven already. It's proven.
Some of the greatest music on the planet. So he was like, I really feel like what's going to allow people to fully get an understanding of who you are as an artist, because I got all types of original music.
Yeah.
But once again, this is about putting the spotlight on who I am so people start to develop a relationship with me. So no matter what I put out, as long as it's great music, they're going to love it. And right. And the easiest way was to do something that no one's doing. Ain't nobody singing James Brown in Man's World.
Right.
Maybe they are. I haven't heard it. And if they are, it ain't with Al Green's band.
I don't think I've heard any recent renditions of that. I think I'm at some point in life, I know I've heard another rendition of it, but
right.
I can't,
For Real, didn't they do it back in the day?
Okay. Did they? Like I said, I know somebody did.
I don't know, it was back in the 90s. No one
did. Hey, yo, Omar, quick question for you, Omar.
Talk to me.
On the Living Legend, what is your favorite song? Then I'm gonna tell you my favorite song.
On Living Legend, dang. I mean, because it's personal to me, probably Find a Way. Because it was, you know what I mean? It was,
that's the intro, right?
Yeah, that was, you know, that's my journey. So that's probably, you know what I mean? I would say that record.
So for sentimental reasons?
Yeah, for sentimental reasons.
I'm really rocking with Sounds That You Make. That's my joke.
But see, that's Teddy Pendergrass. That's Teddy Pendergrass influence. And it's funny that you mentioned that record. We was talking about that last week because I still want to start releasing a couple records off the Living Legend album as singles because it gets a different look.
It's another burn. It gives more time to burn on another part of the
correct.
Game.
Correct. And right. I think Sounds That You Make, especially going into the fall, is going to be perfect because it's that bedroom music.
I'm a fan of that.
You know what I'm saying? I appreciate that, my brother.
All right, Stacey, you're going to like this question. Me and Stacey have this one track we love, but we don't understand how it just got kind of discombobulated. The joint with DMX.
Down, that's what I'm about to ask.
Oh, you, I knew you. I was trying to get to it before you, Stacey. The joint with DMX, it went somewhere that we didn't think it was gonna go.
Right.
It was like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah. And then I don't know. I kind of wanted to tone down DMX on the track.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting the raw DMX on there because you was coming through with it smooth. And I'm like, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then X just came and went somewhere else. Yeah.
It's
this is so nice. And like, the song is called Faith.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, okay, we're good to go. And then here come Earl.
Drunk ass Earl.
Or no, drunk ass Earl. So it's like, what? So and then from my Googling, I read that, well, I mean, I think we kind of already know this, right? So DMX doesn't really partner with a lot of people anyway, right? And
right.
The fact that the two of you were able to get together, and it's not DMX featuring Omar Wilson, it's Omar Wilson featuring DMX. DMX. So like, how did that come to be? And then as far as like, where was the song supposed to go? Because again,
Like, it went two different directions.
What you're doing is fine, but then you put them together. It's like, did DMX know what they were doing?
Is this another song?
How did this happen? How did Faith happen?
Okay, so first, with the whole song, let me get it in my brain again, because it's been a minute since I did that joint.
That was a while ago, but we found it.
We was like, hold on, what is this?
Yeah, I had the record written, and then X did his verse. But when we talked about it, I personally said I wanted the raw DMX. You know what I mean? I wanted that dark and hell is hot, flesh of my blood X.
So you asked for this. This is what you want.
This is what you asked for.
So if you listen to his verse, okay, need a little faith, turn something to nothing to something, talk about, you know, always with my struggle. So his struggle is he was in and out of foster homes as a kid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He did stab him a couple people, you know what I mean, with pencils. It was nothing but dark and rough. So it was his interpretation of a little glimpse of faith. That dog that he found took him to the highest heights of the music industry, and he is now and still will always be one of the most iconic rap artists on the planet. Yeah. So after I listened to the verse and listened to it, I was like, even at the end where he's talking about someone getting killed, hope they have fast death. Like, hope you don't, like, I know it might be morbid and it might sound crazy, but it's his way of showing compassion. Like, even if you get caught up in the streets and you get taken out, I hope it's quick. You know what I mean? So I hear what y'all saying. It was like, it was so intense compared to what I brought to the table.
Yeah.
Hey,
that's so exactly
uplifting.
But look how we started the verse. He said, what'd he say? Niggas think I'm bugging.
Right.
They don't know the shit I'm on.
I don't mind the profanity with it. I could care less. It was just the transition for me from that to that. I wasn't prepared and I wasn't ready.
It was like all the
boy choir and Cameron, you know, coming on like, you know, computers putin' bitches boosting. You'd be like, oh wow. The bitches is boosting with the Harlem, the boys choir. Oh shit.
That's exactly the reaction, right? Like I said again, you're very smooth and mellow, and I get it, and then bam, here he comes. So
I just wanted the edited version, though, and I don't even like unedited versions. I just wanted the edited version of the song.
I got that.
I know that sounds messed up. I'm vulgar as hell, and I just want the edited version.
There's an edited version. It is a version where I did a bridge instead of him on the verse.
No, I want him on it. I just want him bleeped out when he does going crazy at the beginning of the track. Yeah.
I got that all day.
You are more of a slipping DMX.
I want a slipping DMX.
Come on, slipping DMX.
I want slipping DMX.
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite records.
It's my favorite DMX record. Is Slipping.
Explains a lot of stuff that went on in my life as well. You know what I mean? But and then like you asked again, it wasn't Omar Wilson. I mean DMX featuring Omar Wilson. It was my record again. And this is another inclination of how I've been moving through this music industry. I'm an artist, but as a boss as well. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he was featured on my joint, just like with Secret Garden. This happens to be, you know, thank God I got these three juggernauts on the record, but this is the beginning of my album. This is the first single off my current album that's coming out, Omar Wilson Sings the Classics. So it's also to let people know, man, I've been moving through the game, doing my best to show people that I make legendary moves. Hence the reason why I call my album Living Legend. You know what I mean? So not to boast and brag and say I am, but to let people know you have to set a precedent. If you don't, then people set the precedent for you. I'd rather set it for myself. You know what I'm saying? And then have a conversation about if I'm worthy of you guys saying, all right, we rock with the brother, or I'm getting an angry face, which I'm not trying to get.
So did you do that song with DMX in the studio? Because one of my barber and one of my homeboys is from Yonkers, and he said he's off the chain in general, you know, to deal with on a general day-to-day basis. He was like, that dude will come to the barbershop with just a dog and no shirt on and be cut my hair. Just cut my hair. You be like, yo, you ain't got no shirt on. Just cut my hair.
All day. But remember, Omar Wilson is a Tarzan R&B. So, I mean, a lion knows a lion. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, so that, I mean, we didn't do it together in the studio. He actually, I think he was in Arizona when he did the
because he been in Arizona a lot.
The first for the joint.
Yeah, he was out there.
Yeah, living out that joint. But I mean, my interactions with the cat, man, phenomenal dude, God fearing brother. I mean, you know what I'm saying? People might say I'm crazy when people that know me personally. So you know what I mean? It's once again, like I said, it takes one to know one. And I'm honored to be one of a handful of brothers that sings that has a record with him. And what's the coincidence of Cisco being one of them?
Cisco.
You know what I mean? So definitely one of my crowning achievements, man, to be on a record with that brother. And shout out to Rough Riders and everybody.
So if when this COVID thing, you know, are y'all four brothers gonna go on tour together, like make it like a big gigantic, like maybe everything, a 10 city tour, the Secret Garden tour, you know, where all
ladies' night out tour.
I kind of like that.
I'm a marketing guy. I'm a marketing guy, man. I've already seen the Secret Garden tour, man.
Definitely.
It is an IT convention. I can say that now.
So I guess I need to buy Stacey two tickets.
Hey, yo, Stacey, we gonna take that 25 and up, we're going to take the auntie, the mom, grandma. Just come on out. Everybody, come on out.
All the Brendas.
It's going to be a lot of women named Dolores up there.
We're going to do an estrogen tour or something.
Teddy P.
You better wear your mask.
But no, Teddy P used to do the all women's
we're gonna get that cure, man, so we be good, man. We're gonna pray that cure into existence, man. Please.
But like, cause Teddy P used to do the all women tours too, though, didn't he? Teddy P had all the all women tours, all women shows.
He was the original of it.
Yeah, but what I heard, Teddy P started doing the all women tours because when he was with Harold Melvin and them, it was a crazy beef, and they was trying to stop this brother from getting on shows. And to be honest, keeping it 100, that's happened to me in the past. I ain't gonna mention no names because it's probably almost everybody that not wanted me on their show. Of course, you know, every excuse in the book.
I don't want you on the show. You on songs with DMX. You might be problematic, bro. I don't know.
But this is the game. This is the game, my brother. My job is to agitate the situation and get people to be on their A game. I'm cool with my A game.
Harold Melvin without the blue nose should never go platinum.
I was saying that earlier, Scott, which is crazy. Yeah, I'm gonna apply pressure, like
a volcano about to erupt, my brother. And when that hot magma hit their skin, they gonna know it was Omar Wilson that did it. You know what I mean? And like you said, Teddy P is the only cat I know that was doing the all woman joints, and I look forward to doing those. You know what I mean? Because it's time, man. I've been working hard for these opportunities my whole life, and now I will prove for once and for all why I deserve to be here and stay here, and make the lady smile the whole way through.
Stacey, you got any more questions?
I was gonna ask him why he tagged me on Instagram in a video of him walking around without a shirt on, but
he's bringing the alpha male back to R&B. He had to let him know.
Right, he had the Tarzan, the R&B, them swung around on my Instagram and tagged me. I'm sitting there. Daryl just said that you had reached out. We're like, okay, and I look at my notifications. I'm like, Omar will tag you in something. I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, he's cussing us out somewhere. Like,
he's cussing us out because he thought it was me.
I thought it was me. And I'm like, well, let's go. I'm ready. So I go to Instagram looking. I'm like, where he at? Where is that? Like, let's get it. And I'm like, why is he? So like, I hit the group chat. I was like, so Omar Wilson just tagged me in a post on Instagram. The video of him walk around and got a
chest naked records. I hear you, dog.
That's let you know I come in peace. I come in peace. You know what I'm saying?
So what's so crazy? So like, I think my phone was like on mute, so I don't even know what was being said. Like, I just see the video and I'm like, what's happening?
Hey man, You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to put a little bit of chocolate back into the situation. You know what I mean?
So you said though, but you said like, did you like, cause literally it was like the next day after, or like the day that we dropped the podcast. Yeah. So you said you like, were you just Googling yourself, or like, how did you?
Oh, big shout out to my big homie, Lou Humphreys, owner of my label, man. That brother is like, he like the Secret Service, he like the CIA. You
know, hey, I said that last week. I said, shout out to to whoever is on this team, whoever's doing the PR and doing social listening to the founder. Because, I mean, it had just, like, it hadn't even been, 12 hours?
No, it hadn't
like,
been 12 hours. Just,
yo.
But, yeah, we had
and just, he hit me, first thing in the morning, too, on the, like, because we usually talk, like, 8:30, 9 o'clock. We're always on our logistics early morning. he hit me with the Barry White. He's like, big homie. So we call each other big homie. He said, check this out. And just played it. I said, what's that? He said, it's a podcast. I said, where'd you get that from? He said, man, big homie, you know I'll be on my stuff. And that's what I was like, okay. I was like, they don't call me Ruben Studdard too. I said, man, Ruben Studdard. At least there's somebody else in shape that can't sing. You know what I'm saying? No. Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm like, okay, we gotta do it. You know what I mean? We have to start this bond, this relationship, let them know I'm for them. You know what I'm saying?
Now we were so we, like when Daryl told us and I was like, you lying. I'm like, lies, no way. He's like, yep. I'm like, okay. And then it wasn't that we weren't gonna do the interview, but once I got tagged on Instagram, that's when it was like, all right. He's like,
I'm on the hood. It's like somebody be like, yo, hey, we heard somebody wanna fight you. Oh, what? Okay. That's it. Well, not what they do.
This ain't my first rodeo with making somebody mad.
Baby girl. Yo, throughout my career, I've worked every job on the planet. I used to work retail. I used to work at the mall. This is probably when I was like 19. I worked in a woman's shoes. Now you talking about some ridicule over something I thought was so small, but women treat shoes like you buying feet, like you buying real feet. You know what I'm saying? So once I got through dealing with customer service, like this is part of the game, man. I mean, I personally think there hasn't been a real singer in so long that it's almost unheard of. It's like, nah, he ain't really singing. You mean without no foolishness on his voice? Like, could sing live in front of people. It was a time where I think labels were not rocking with me because I could sing for real. Mm. It got like they'd be like, "Yo, you on my Wolfie? I heard of you. Oh, you like you that real singer." Like, what that mean?
Like, you sing for real.
Like, we ain't doing real singers right now. You know what I mean? Maybe in a couple of years, my brother. But right now, we ain't doing that.
I can see that. I can see that for sure.
So, you know, I think even where the world is right now, the fact that the whole world has been numb for a long time, man, with just dealing with life, whatever you got going on, this, that, and the third, you know what I mean? When it comes to even just getting money, just doing whatever. But once this whole world stops and that wound is open again, I think the world is sensitive again. It can feel soul again. It can feel vibes again. When before it was just bouncing and chilling and partying and whatever. Numb, numb, numb. So I think now that the world is more open to the feeling, it's time for me to come on through. You know what I'm saying? Because I would perform at different spots. I performed at colleges and people would come up to me and say, "Yo, man, it made me feel a certain way." Like, yeah, it's the music, you can sing good. Yeah, you know what I mean? But it's a feeling, it's an intent with what I do. And it wasn't just about, once again, just making people love me. I'm singing from a place of survival. There's people that gave up their career to see me shine. There's so many people I got in heaven right now that believed in me, that's looking down on me, that want to see me make it. There's so many people that's praying I don't make it. They hate my guts.
That's real.
That cannot stand the fact that I've had the tenacity and the staying power and the self-love to go through the ups, downs, backstabbing, betrayal, you name it, had money, lost money. Just anything you could think of in this music industry, other than right now me touching my first mill, I've done it all. You name it, I've seen it. I done been to the top, all the way to the top of the top. I done been in the illest bottom. Stay in the trenches, born in the trenches. Now it's time for me to take my rightful place and tell my story. And I feel like me finally touching down on this A-list level, it's going to allow people, everyday people, to feel like they can finally be, they can be stars. And I'm here to also make all these stars reminded that they still people. Mm. And no matter what you've acquired and how you bounce and move, you're still like all of us. And I guess that's, I mean, why God made me wait so long. So I have a full understanding of how to use my superpower that he gave me.
Dang, that's a dope way to end this, dog, right there. That's just, yeah. You speaking to the choir right there, man. And listen, my question.
Yo, man, you know what? You know what? Because I feel like my redemption is everybody's. Because I am, you know what I mean, your homeboy or your brother or your cousin or your uncle. Or for Stacey, your boyfriend, your ex-husband or whatever. You know what I mean? I represent.
Yeah, right. You can
young speak. Young Vito, voice of the young people. I can sing
better than my ex-husband can.
But I'm just saying, you know, I'm everybody, man. And at the end of the day, I'm just a normal cat from the block that figured out his superpower, and now I want to show the world what God gave me and how hard I worked at refining it so well that it looks like magic when I do it. Like when people see Michael Jordan, they see God rest his soul, Kobe, like it's like magic. It ain't magic. It's so many hours of hard work and dedication and consistency that the level is so crazy, it looks like magic. But it's really just a level of hard work that most people will not reach. They don't want to reach for it. People, there's a whole bunch of soldiers, but there ain't too many Navy SEALs and special ops and black ops. Cause you gotta do something completely above the normal to really achieve that greatness. And it's scary. It's like I said, James Brown's a man's world. That could have destroyed my whole career. Why would you try that, dog? You gonna mess with James Brown? You know, to be in that studio and to have some of Bobby Womack's people that was there, cats that have been playing instruments as long as I've been alive, and to say, "Yo, man, my homeboy was in the studio when James recorded this originally. that brother would be proud. And as to date now, I've done James Brown, A Man's World. I've done a Sam Cooke, Change Gonna Come. On my new album, I got Donny Hathaway. I'm doing David Ruffin. I'm doing Teddy Pendergrass. I'm doing Marvin Gaye. Like, even the research on that, people have done rendition albums, but there's nobody that's put 6 or 7 of the greatest soul voices on the planet together on one album and paid tribute. Nobody. I'm the first. And when people hear it, they're gonna be like, damn, he did that Donny Hathaway joint? Fine. Then, oh wait, he did Sam Cooke? Oh, that's fine. Damn, that's David Ruffin? Oh, he's doing Teddy P too? And everything sound right? Who's done that? Black Sinatra, the living legend.
Black Sinatra, the pioneer of the game. That's what's up, man.
The Tarzan of R&B and the
Hey, I got a quick question.
And if you want, my chest will only be out for you from now on. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna appreciate that, though, brother. I appreciate that, brother.
You want to kiss you on your chest without a lipstick.
My brother Scott has a question.
You go by the Black Sinatra, though. I got a quick question, though.
Yes, sir.
Do you consider Keith Sweat the godfather of R&B?
Keith Sweat? The godfather. I don't want to talk this. That's a whole other.
Here we go, Scott. Here we go.
Remember I told you, I'm not that liked by a lot of. There's a lot of R and beef going on in the back.
R&B.
I think Keith Sweat's the god. Don't get me wrong. Come on, man, stop playing. But the godfather of R&B, when I think of godfathers, I think of people like Donny Hathaway and Sam Cooke and Otis Redding.
I would consider them godfathers of soul. R&B probably, I think, would probably mid to late 80s. You know what I'm saying? When that
okay. Really I mean, he is one of those dudes, man.
Yeah,
he had a lot of big joints when it comes to that realm of music.
Absolutely. Or is it my boy Bobby Brown?
I'm trying to king R&B, but
that's the king.
That's the king, though.
That's the king,
Bobby Brown. Yeah, because think about it, Bobby Brown. We want to have Usher. We want to have Chris Brown. They are Bobby Brown. You know what I'm saying?
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, in the new realm. So okay. I would give Keith Sweat that. He the god. He the god. Yeah, I see about the young king in there. Peace, young king. Peace to the young nation. Peace to the young nation.
Hey, he passed the torch though. Did Keith Sweat? Now who is the new school godfather? Would you say Jacquees? No, I'm fucking with you. Hey, that was a joke, man. I'm fucking with that. Hey, don't take me serious, man.
I'm gonna say what my pops should tell me. My pops, man, God rest his soul. You know, he's a 2-time Vietnam veteran, an airborne paratrooper, right? And he told me simply, man, you gotta live to get old, young boy. So you can't call. I mean, if you want to call yourself a legend, you got to do legendary things.
Yeah.
And I mean, a couple dope records is great. But is that legendary?
No.
Or is that a good career?
It ain't even that. A couple dope records ain't even that. That's a short run.
Man,
that's
you know a, what I mean?
That's a little fast. Jog. That's a jog. That ain't even a run.
that's a nice job though.
Yeah, nice job. Yeah, you get.
But I'm in for the marathon. It's marathon running right here. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, man.
Omar, thank you for coming on, though, brother. Man, we're gonna have to get you back on, man, after the album drops and talk about that and really get to jump into the album a little bit when we get to.
Yo, it would be amazing, man. Y'all feel like family, man. I appreciate y'all. I appreciate y'all. Reaching back out and I'd be like, man, we ain't thinking about this movie. We're gonna wait till the record comes out. Look. Listen to the real stars on the record.
No. We all about the music. We all love R&B at a high level. You know, like we have the craziest conversations on this show about R&B that people never have, you know.
Word. Well, trust and believe, man, like it's my job and my honor to make sure that I continue to put out music that stands the test of time, that will live forever, and that will make y'all feel proud. about. You know what I mean? Like I said, I don't think for a long time people care.
Yeah.
They just want to bounce and chill, get some girls and say whatever.
Get some auto tune.
I've always cared. It's always been in my heart. Cause I know it's bigger than music. It's about big man right there that you're sitting with, you know what I mean? And giving him a musical pathway of how to get through this life, work with this life, and have a great relationship, find the one, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So yeah, that's what it is for me, man. I look so forward to hearing what y'all think about this song, man.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Basically just waiting to see who got Barry's part.
That's the only dog she got in this fight.
Well, you're gonna be pleasantly delighted.
Hey. That's what's up.
Hey, man, we appreciate you.
Where can everybody hit you up social media-wise, Omar?
Okay. My website is owilson.com. For Instagram, that's OmarWilson1, the number one. Facebook and Twitter is just Omar Wilson. And, I mean, you can always Google my name.
Right.
Google me. I heard you.
And a beefy Wikipedia gonna pop up now. So yeah. My Wikipedia might have gold chains hanging from it. And, you know, I mean, a whole bunch of adornments.
the B-boy stands like, what's good?
Hey, look, Omar, you might need to hire Stacy for your. She's a social media like beast. We need to hire her, man.
Hey, man, I'm every single last one of y'all. I mean, let's work, man.
I'm going to DM you too, because we might need to collab on some music, man. I'm going to hit you
up. Your shirt on.
Man, let's go, man. Let's go. Let's go. Please be in contact with me.
Yo, if y'all work together, can you keep your shirt on?
I don't know, because I've been doing some push-ups. You see, typically, it was a crew neck, then it went to a V-neck. Now I'm in a tank top. I've been doing push-ups. You know what's next. You know what's next.
It's all about the sternum, baby. It's all about that sternum movement.
Been over there drinking that flat belly tea.
Well, man, thank you, man. Like, for real. Hey. Thank you, man. We're going to pump this up. We're going to drop this tomorrow. And we appreciate you coming on the show, bro.
Yeah,
man, God bless
y'all.
I appreciate y'all, man. Make sure y'all follow me on the gram. I'll follow y'all back.
Yeah, like I'm gonna hit you up now.
Yeah, I followed you. I followed you, fam.
Yeah.
All right, man. Love and blessings, love and blessings, all y'all.
All right.
Right on, man. You be safe.
I'll see you in the gym, baby. I'll see y'all there.